wanna party, we will party hard.
There's the anthem. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, this Sunday, the Chicago Pizza Summit takes over the Chop Shop in Wicker Park. This is a new event that brings together about a dozen pizza vendors to essentially have a food festival featuring all sorts of pizza. It's sponsored by Old Style and the Empty Bottle. Now, the headliner, the keynote, the main event, well, it's got to be Andrew W.K. Andrew W.K. is the king of party. The rocker whose anthems include Party Hard, which we just heard, and We Want Fun, moonlighted as a Village Voice advice columnist for a while, and has become the spokesperson for the party, the man who eloquently argues for the merits of a life well lived. Andrew W.K. is a rock and roll philosopher, and he's my guest tonight at the big table. Andrew, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much, and thanks for that very generous introduction.
Well, it's true. I mean, there's not too many people who have dedicated their lives to the party.
Well, many people have, but perhaps I'm representing those efforts in a more forward, outward way, because partying is something that just about everybody has in common, similar to a love for pizza, which most people seem to have. And I'm here just to amplify that shared love.
Well, let's talk about pizza. You know, you've written eloquently about your love of pizza, the passion for pizza. What brought you here to do this summit?
Well, I was asked, and actually this goes back quite a while. If I remember correctly, we've been working on this summit for over a year. And so to finally see it coming together just days away here is the result of a lot of work, a lot of people coming together, obviously pizza lovers, pizza vendors. And as much as you were very generous again to say I was the main event, pizza is the main event.
How dare I?
Well,
how dare you upstage pizza?
Exactly. I could never upstage it if I tried. Pizza is one of my idols. To be more like pizza is one of my goals as a human being, to try to have that that common love that brings people together. That is what the power of partying is all about, and pizza.
Well, this is not just lip service. I mean, you have written about this. This was a subject of one of your advice columns. You've got a pizza-shaped guitar.
Yes.
I mean, you really have really dedicated your life to the love of pizza.
I really have, and I love it as much as anyone could. But I want to point out, again, that this is not some amazing thing. Now, I've seen people eat spiders. I have seen people who are specialists in eating large quantities of food and pizza.
Right.
I don't have those skills. I don't claim to be special in my love of pizza. In fact, I'm not special, and that's what is special about it, meaning I am just, again, here to represent all of us that love pizza and to try to be a voice for that love.
Well, you talk about, you know, the idea that this isn't necessarily, you know, a delicacy in the way that, you know, it's such a niche food, you have to try this. This is something that brings people together. Everybody knows it. You almost don't make it necessarily special. You say this is something that brings us together.
Exactly, and in the best way. And I wish we could focus a bit more on those precious shared loves in this world. Music, for example, my other main love, that's another great example. Music is something that just about everybody likes. And if you don't like the same music, that doesn't mean you don't like music, period. So those shared passions, they tend to open the heart. When you can go to a pizza place and see people enjoying pizza, all different kinds of people. When you go to a concert or a dance party and be dancing and celebrating alongside someone that you might not ever otherwise find yourself in the vicinity of, it opens your heart a bit.
And it's very communal.
It makes getting through the day feel better. It feels better to be alive when you do stuff like that.
And I mean, pizza has become such a passion play for journalists, for others who say there's this kind of pizza is better than this kind of pizza. We have this big, you know, sort of rivalry with New York and Chicago pizza, whether you like stuffed pizza or thin pizza.
Yes.
I mean, but it doesn't matter to you.
No, it doesn't. Meaning that I like all of it. I wouldn't even dare to go into the territory of trying to pick a favorite pizza, because that is stress. That's removing, that's closing the heart right there. That's opening my mind, looking for division, weighing options, dividing what makes pizza so good. The best way to divide pizza is just to cut a slice off and eat it. Other than that, I want to just look at all pizza as a wonderful, glorious, joyous phenomenon.
For you, how often do you eat it?
Ideally, every day. Now, this is something that has been easier to do while on tour because pizza, as far as a late night option, sometimes that is your best bet. And I love the exploration, the adventure of tracking down pizza in various towns, especially when you leave the country, especially when you leave America.
Absolutely, it can
get very strange. You almost get sort of a psychedelic pizza experience, a whole different versions and interpretations of what makes pizza pizza. But as it's been said before, even bad pizza is still pizza and therefore is good.
You're so right. I mean, think about it. I remember being in Edinburgh, Scotland, late night. You know, you have your fish and chips, but then there's also the pizza place that's really giving you full pizzas for, you know, £3 or whatever it was. And everybody was in line for it. 2 o'clock in the morning, drunks out there with a slice of pizza in their hand. I mean, there really is this connection between not just the party life, but with passion when it comes to this food.
There are good things out there that are reliable, and it's easy to overlook them because of their reliability. It's easy to take them for granted because they're so present and we rely on them so much. But they also should be worshipped and they should be shown continuous gratitude. And by this Pizza Summit, for example, we're really just there to show respect, to take a moment to actually acknowledge those small but very significant and powerful parts of our lives that do consistently bring us happiness.
All right, let's get to the point of the haters. People who don't like it, who say that too much carbs, they can get away from the pizza, pizza's bad for you. What's your take on that?
I think that they actually do like pizza. Now there are, I'm just going to assume, there are people out there that genuinely hate pizza. Now, I have never met one. I'm not saying they don't exist. I have met many people. None of them disliked pizza. Even the people who didn't eat pizza, for whatever their reasons, dietary restrictions, beliefs, like you're saying, health consciousness, they still loved pizza. They loved the phenomenon. They loved the idea. They loved the pizza spirit. In my opinion, and this could be controversial, just thinking about pizza counts as having a pizza party. That's the power of this. This is a spiritual experience, and I really mean that sincerely. These things that bring us joy. It's like you can think of a song that you love. You can hum the melody in your head silently to yourself. Does that not count as listening to the song? Absolutely. The essence of the song is there. The essence of pizza, if you love it, it's always with you.
Andrew WK is the keynote at the Chicago Pizza Summit, which is going to be at the Chop Shop in Wicker Park on Sunday. Let's take a break. We come back. Let's talk about your music, and we have to talk about the party.
Okay.
Both of those things are on the docket. Andrew WK is my guest tonight at the big table. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Coffin. My guest tonight at the big table, Andrew WK. Do you say musician turned motivational speaker? What is
I say a person who likes partying. You know, professional partier. Out of respect for musicians, I don't like to put myself into their category because they're usually better than I am at music, and out of respect for people who speak English very well, I don't like to put myself in that category. So the one thing I'm confident is my party ability.
Well, let's refresh the Chicago Pizza Summit. You're here. You're the keynote speaker on Sunday at the Chop Shop in Wicker Park, Chicago Pizza Summit. You can look it up online. Sponsored by Old Style and Empty Bottle. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting to hear you say because, I mean, you kind of came up through music.
Yes.
I mean, you're a musician. You know, looking back at your career, You've been on the indie labels. You've worked your way up to where you're at now.
Yes, music was probably the first thing I discovered in life, even before pizza, that brought me unmitigated joy, just pure physical waves of pleasure, and that I could count on throughout any situation, any circumstance, any hardship to make me feel better about being alive. So why wouldn't you want to dedicate your life to that? But I didn't know that I would end up doing it professionally in any capacity. I just thought I want to have music be a big part of my world no matter what I do. And then eventually I realized that as far as getting a party going, music and pizza, those are the ways to do it. And I've been very fortunate to continue to play rock music. It's a very high energy, pretty loud, banging music. But to be honest, as I said, in terms of being a professional partier, I think of the music as a toy. The same way that Santa Claus makes toys, he is a toy maker, But you wouldn't limit him to that, or even out of respect for perhaps other toy makers and his amazing team, he is trying to represent something more. The toys are a means to an end. The music is a means to an end for me, that end being joy.
You don't hear a lot of musicians talk that way. I'll be honest. Like, if I asked the question, like, when you got into music, say, well, you know, we tried to make our way, we just done that. I mean, you have, you definitely put a lot more thought and introspection into the profession that you've chose.
Well, that's kind of you to say. Sometimes maybe it's because I don't, there's not much there, so I have to make it sound a lot fancier than it is, you know, like add a lot of fancy lights on it and bells and whistles.
I mean, and it plays to exactly what you're talking about, this idea of professional party, or the party is what's up front and the music is part of it. I think about the songs we've even heard, you know, in the introduction here, both songs we talk about, and other songs that you've produced and put out. I mean, they're becoming anthems. They're party anthems. I mean, football teams
yes.
will play your stuff when they kick the ball off.
That's
an unbelievable feat. Don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. That was, if I ever had a dream for how the music would be used, that was right up there. Sports events, because again, that atmosphere to me, that's as party as it gets. I mean, even if there's that kind of animosity between the teams and the supporters and the fans, the energy in that place, that arena, that stadium, wherever it may be, even if you're watching the game on TV and you're at home, that is raw energy. And you're removed from what otherwise might be considered the problems of your life or the distractions, the things that take you away from that that best feeling. Yeah, and to have my music be used as a soundtrack to that, it's a huge privilege. I'm very humbled by that.
What drew you to metal?
Well, I liked energy. I liked intense. I like intense everything. So obviously intense music. And not just intensely loud or aggressive music. Intensely quiet music is very intense too. And anything that was spirited, not passive. I had a hard time connecting to passive music because that's not what I was looking for. I was looking for stimulation, always trying to be stimulated by what I'm encountering, not to be soothed so much. I look to blankets for soothing. I look to warm milk for soothing, things like that.
Right.
But
not your music.
Yeah, not my arts and cultural experiences. I like those to be invigorating. So yeah, I mean, as for someone who has had a lot of intense feelings, a lot of anger, a lot of determination, a lot of frustration, like any young man, I suppose, whether it's valid or not, or whether it's for any reason, sometimes you just feel this way for no particular logical reason. But those music that sound so angry, they actually made me feel better. It's almost like if you're someone that has ADD and you take some kind of speed, it calms you down. So there's something about being an angry or amped up person where that music has a cathartic way. Angry music made me feel happier.
Were you an angry kid?
Oh, yeah. I'm still very angry. And this is all, you know, one of the main reasons I was drawn to trying to devote myself to this positive party adventure was to try to feel better about life. Again, music always made me feel better. I don't even know what I would do, actually, if there wasn't for music. I don't think I would have even made it this far.
Well, I was
going to
say, what's a comparison? I mean, you talk about professional partying. I mean, you know, the old adage, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I mean, if you took away rock and roll, there's not much left.
Yes.
I mean, if you don't have music, what else is there?
Well, as you said, reproduction is, none of us would exist without that. So that's always elemental, perhaps the most elemental aspect of our existence. And then as far as, you know, ingesting molecules, that's to each person's own discretion, I suppose. It's probably the experiences will be worthwhile in some way, even if it's to tell you to never do it again. But beyond that, nothing really. I mean, you can examine all these other parts of life, all these other day-to-day versions of what it is to be a person. And then there's these few things like music or like food or like reproduction that really fill up the landscape that nothing else can touch. It's not like, oh, well, it's similar to that or it's kind of a different version of that. No, there's no other version of music. There's just music. So it's good to be able to saturate your life with those things that are good.
When did you realize, I mean, as a musician, as a young kid, angry kid, you started, music started to make you feel better. But when did you realize that you were in it for the party, or that that you were more of a professional partier than, say, a musician? When was that point?
I never wanted to be a front man, so that's one of the stranger things, is now sort of being this front lead singer for this musical rock and roll band. that's the last thing I always imagined I would do. I wanted to get this feeling across, and I realized that music was the most direct way of doing it. And then I also realized, though, through doing actually what we're doing right now, through interviews, through talking with people, that language and talking actually happens to be a very direct way of getting something across, too. Maybe not the same way, but... and also, then I met a lot of people who didn't like my music or didn't even like rock music in general, but they heard something that we talked about or they related to some other aspect of it and they got something out of it. And I thought, you know, there's more to this. I don't want to leave anybody out of this party. I want to be able to get to people and include people in this in whatever way I can, because that is the end result that, I'm looking for. It's supposed to be something that we can all bond with together about being alive together.
Professional partier Andrew WK, musician and partier. How about that?
Whatever you want. It's fine with me.
Also, the keynote speaker at the Chicago Pizza Summit, which is Sunday at the Chop Shop in Wicker Park. Andrew WK, stick around. After the news, we'll continue the conversation here at the big table. Stay with us. It's time to party. Let's party. Are you with yourself and have a crazy party? Hey, you, let's party. Have a killer party and party. Well, Andrew WK for you there, the spokesperson for The Party. He's my guest tonight here on The Big Table and The Download. I'm Justin Kaufman. Andrew WK, of course, musician, professional partier. He's going to be the keynote speaker at the Chicago Pizza Summit, which is Sunday at the Chop Shop in Wicker Park, sponsored by Old Style and The Empty Bottle. You know, we're talking about your roots in music when we left before the news. But really, you know, you explained that really music was an outgrowth of your love of the party.
Yeah, feeling good about being alive, which has not always been the natural feeling that occurred in me. I imagine a lot of other folks can relate to that. The whole idea of the glass half full or half empty, I looked at the whole phenomenon as just this glass is crummy and the water and it's probably tainted anyway and this table it's sitting on is stupid and... I was not convinced that existing was a great thing.
What was that moment for you? What was the epiphany that said, you know what, I'm going to stop looking at my life pessimistically. I'm going to, you know, I recognize that I'm that angry kid, but this music is in front of me and this love and of joy and the love of party is there. When was that moment for you where you said, forget the half empty, I'm going half full?
There was a moment earlier today, and there'll probably be another one before the end of the day, and there'll probably be another one tomorrow. And I hope that they continue to come so that I don't give up. There's never been one defining moment that made me suddenly this magically positive person. It's been a complete battle and struggle all day long.
So
you
struggle with it all the time.
I don't know that I would, you know, for the first time, maybe the interesting thing based on your question is maybe for the first time now, I'm thinking maybe I'm not supposed to not struggle. Maybe that struggle is all part of, maybe there's something positive about the hardship.
Right, right. Battling adversity.
Yeah, because it certainly has made me do things I never otherwise would have done. If I felt great and content about everything, I don't think I would have searched to try to find an answer or to try to devote myself to getting cheered up, you know, let alone hopefully cheering other folks up, you know, doing anything. If you just can lay down and feel good about everything just by resting, I mean, that might be a nice way to live, but...
Right.
I couldn't do it, so...
Well, there's something about your music. I mean, we talked about the anthems and how it's, you know, it's been co-opted by sports, professional sports, a lot of kickoff music, you know, for Andrew WK. But it's also like it's an anthem for life in the way that, you know, people jump up and down to your music. People forget about all their problems and join in with the people next to them at the concert, you know. Maybe, you know, jack up the volume on the car when your song comes on. There really is this sort of... you know, pureness to an Andrew WK track.
Well, thank you. Thank you for finding that in it and hearing it that way. And thank you to everybody out there who listens to it with that in mind, because that is exactly what it was supposed to do and what I wanted to do. It was be a soundtrack for the good moments in life and at the same time have the power to turn a not so good moment into one and then become the soundtrack for that newly created good moment. Music can do that, you know, but it's also, it is a state of mind. It's a collaboration. The listener has to want to do it. That's why when you're saying, you know, these songs are anthems, I didn't make them anthems. I just made the most exciting song I could. And it takes this team effort to make it mean something to someone other than myself. Everybody else has to agree too. And in that regard, I really do feel like I'm just another member of this party. I'm just standing shoulder to shoulder with other people who believe in this feeling, who are looking for it, who want to feel good, who know that those feelings are possible. I mean, that's what keeps me going if you're asking about those defining moments, knowing that there was another way that I could feel, where it wasn't just an idea, wasn't just an intellectual thought that life could be good. It actually was good to me then. You know, it, being on a roller coaster felt good to me. Kissing my first girlfriend felt good. I realized that there could be these moments that were worth all the bad moments.
You know, for you, you're creating an environment and a tapestry. You know, the music that you put together, like we just played throughout this hour. I mean, they're sort of positive anthems, but there's a lot of musicians in the world that use their music to express their misery, to express their pessimism, to express their real emotions. To be
yes,
raw.
That's very valid.
And you know, a lot of musicians, you know, and that's consumed as well. I mean, for you, is there any value in maybe opening up the other side of Andrew WK?
Oh, it's there. It's there. I mean, it's probably, if it had its way, that dark side would just be full blown. So I try to have it. I want to have it all, obviously. I want to have the full range of emotions. I want my work to encapsulate life itself, not just my life, but the human experience. I want people to be able to relate to it on all sides. I don't want it to be overbearing in terms of, you got to be cheered up. You know, you're not positive enough. There's room for every feeling here. When it comes to what my strengths are, I try to play to those strengths, which I think is this kind of exuberant, upbeat sensation. But I love negative music. I love darkness, and I really enjoy exploring those things. I think all of it is valid. And that, again, it does seem to point towards this transcendent positivity that allows all of this to exist, the good and the bad, the black and the white, you know, the ups and the downs, just like a roller coaster. Again, one of my favorite things, going up that hill is, you know, mighty fun. It has a lot of tension, and going down is a whole other side, but you couldn't go down and enjoy that rush if you didn't climb up. And right. The same with life, you know.
You know, for you, I mean, there was a point where, you know, you stopped producing music and you moved into more of motivational speaking, lecturing. You toured the country on this sort of positivity, the positivity of the party. You crafted. So it's not, you're not just having these thoughts and, you know, channeling it into music. You're having these thoughts and you're speaking for positivity. There's an entire industry around positivity.
Yes.
That you slid into. Talk about that, because it's mostly motivational speakers and people who are like, I can turn your life around. Are you one of those kind of guys?
For better or worse, I wish I could turn someone else's life around. I think only the person themselves can do that, of course. But it doesn't mean that interesting ideas or inspiring sparks can activate those parts of you. And at the very least, maybe be entertained or remember some version of yourself deep down inside that you lost touch with. But at the very least, I do think that talking about life does seem to have a therapeutic effect, not just for the person speaking, like if you're going to see a therapist or something, but for everybody. I don't know exactly why it is. It's just something that seems quite primal in the human nature, that we want to, that we are going through all this together, whether we acknowledge that, whether we like to think that we are, whether we want to be or not, we are in this together. There is only us. That's what makes it very challenging as well. But there's something about acknowledging that in a good way, in a positive way, that is very soul satisfying.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, most of the speakers who are touching upon positivity are speaking, like you mentioned, therapists and others. They're speaking to a much older crowd. In your sense, I mean, the listeners of your music, the generation, a younger generation, 20s, 30s, they don't have a lot of people that are telling them to be positive.
Well, maybe so, maybe not. I mean, I think there seems to be more of that now than there has been at other times. You know, it probably comes and goes. But it's an inherent part of the human experience to try to find this elusive thing called happiness. And every now and then there's someone that comes along that's really kind of obsessed with that pursuit, who maybe even sees life itself as this adventure in search of that, you know, like Lord of the Rings or something. And that it kind of gives meaning to life, and it puts those hardships and those conflicts in a different perspective. Maybe, you know, because what would Lord of the Rings be without the villains? And what would life be without some ups and downs and some crazy characters? So sometimes having someone to help paint the picture of your life in a more appealing way helps us to appreciate it, even when it's hard.
So that makes you Frodo the partier, right?
I would only ever hope to be on the same level as Frodo or Bilbo. I mean, the courage, the bravery. And again, keep in mind, they're one third my size. So I have even more respect for them.
You know, we throw around the word party. It's interesting because you're a professional partier, you're the joy of the party. Everything is, party hard. And there's ways to look at that because, you know, some may say party hard evokes this concept of overindulgence, drugs, alcohol, you know, the quintessential American rock and roll shot of you downing a bottle of Jack Daniels, you know, on stage or whatever it is. But that's not necessarily what you mean by party.
Well, that's not all it means. At the most basic, I would say that it's about celebrating what you're thankful for. Now, someone might be very thankful for Jack Daniels. No reason not to be.
Right, sure.
You know, very luscious. It burns a bit if you drink a whole bottle at once. But, you know, there are folks that can do that. And someone might be very thankful for the weekend. So they go out and celebrate on a Friday. Thankful for the new year. Thankful for, your birthday. These are moments that we acknowledge and we celebrate. We set them aside from what we think of as day-to-day life. But what if we could get in our mind that every day was something to celebrate, that being alive in the first place was a reason to celebrate? Now, that isn't easy. That's not my, as I said, not my natural state of mind. That was something I had to work at, but that's why it became a mission. You know, having a mission to be able to have a mindset almost become your purpose, to develop the strength to try to see life as this miraculous experience that deserves to be worshipped and celebrated. That's what partying really is. And you can party within that really any way that you want, as long as it doesn't get in the way of someone else's partying.
Yeah. Rock and roll philosopher Andrew W.K. is with us in studio. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more of this conversation at the big table. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. Andrew WK, my guest at the big table. He's the keynote at the Chicago Pizza Summit, which is coming up here on Sunday at the Chop Shop in Wicker Park. You can find that online. It's sponsored by Old Style Empty Bottle. It's pretty much a food festival.
It is.
12 different vendors getting together for the love of pizza, to rejoice in pizza.
And there really is a great variety of pizza places there. And I'm not exactly sure if it's all you can eat, but I imagine that no one will leave there hungry either way. Every kind of pizza that Chicago has to offer in terms of style, in my limited experience, it will be there. So I'm very excited about that. I'm not eating for the entire day leading up to it in order to have the appetite to consume everything.
You know, I wanted to ask you, you had a very successful column in the Village Voice, Ask Andrew W.K., where essentially you did an advice column.
People yeah.
get call it. I mean, what was that like for you? Because that's not something that is organic to you. I mean, you're a musician. You've done a lot of you've done the motivational speaker thing. But writing a column for a newspaper, didn't know you had it in you.
Neither did I. And it's not entirely clear if I ever did. But it did happen. I think it was a weekly column for just around 2 years, almost exactly. So over 100 columns, if I'm correct.
Wow.
And it was an incredible honor to be asked by the Village Voice. That's, of course, a very legendary weekly paper, the biggest weekly paper in the country, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's like the Chicago Reader of New York.
Yes, exactly. It has a great legacy there and their own style and all that. And I was very surprised that they invited me to do this. They asked if I would like to be an advice columnist. Now, I did have some prior experience because I had actually done a monthly advice column in a Japanese music magazine for 10 years right before that.
Right before that.
Yeah, I did.
A decade before that.
But that, of course, was translated from Japanese into English and back again. So it was a slightly less intimate. I relied on an editor and a translator, whereas the Village Voice column was all me. So
what'd you learn from it?
Well, I learned that a lot of people are thinking about the same things I am. I learned that despite not being able to necessarily physically relate to certain problems in terms of having walked in those shoes or down those exact paths, I was able to kind of call upon a higher or maybe a lower intelligence and put myself in their position regardless. And I think that's a great skill to develop. And we all can do it. You know, you can kind of imagine, I would imagine if I was talking to the smartest person in the world, just like the most advanced person ever. Again, maybe to go back to Lord of the Rings or something like Gandalf, just like those wise beyond wise, what would they say? And then I would try to imagine what they said and just say that. So it wasn't really what I thought. It was just what I imagined the best person in the world would think. But then you realize that you can do that all the time. It's sort of, I mean, I guess that's probably.
But don't you feel like you, Andrew WK, don't you feel that what you have to offer? I mean, because whether it's an advice column or whether it's your music or whether it's professional, you know, partying, I mean, you're relating to your audience. You're finding ways to give them advice on positivity and things. I mean, you don't have to be somebody else. I mean, you're Andrew WK. I mean, one of the things you're selling is genuine, right?
Well, that is part of it. I'm very fortunate, or I'm thankful, I guess I should say, that people have come to me at all to ask me anything. I mean, I guess it really started after shows and things, or people would send me letters in the mail, people that were listening to the music or saw an interview and they wanted to ask me about stuff. And I was so blown away on one hand that they wanted to ask me anything about life. And then on the other hand, I was so moved by it, I felt very obligated to answer because they opened themselves up to me. And I guess I thought if I wanted to ask this person that for whatever reason I looked up to or related to, I would want them to answer. And it was a very basic reaction, I guess. You know, if like someone comes up on the street asking you for help, it's hard, even if you don't help them, it's hard to not feel that connection. So I just decided to do it and see what would happen. Just try to be there. And again, I felt like that was part of what this was all about. It felt very in line with the spirit of what this whole effort was promoting. It was promoting a togetherness. It was promoting a relatability. It was trying to, I try to have, you know, these people that are fans of this party spirit, they're in my mind as much as maybe I'm in their mind. We're helping each other through day to day. They gave me motivation to get through moments that I don't think I would have been able to get through if I had felt all alone. So it's a team effort. Partying is always best done as a team.
That is true. Let me ask you this. Can you envision a life without the party?
Yes. I don't know if I would call it life at that point. It would probably be some kind of long process of dying. Just a lot of suffering. Just a lot of suffering. And that is the main goal, is to try to alleviate as much suffering as we can, not just, of course, from our own immediate lives, but from the world in general. Why does suffering even exist in the first place? Why is that part of the design, if there is such a design? Why? Whose fault is it? Is it all of our faults? How much of it are we responsible for fixing or addressing? You know, it's a big part of life, but any effort that we can make that alleviates even just a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of 1% of that suffering is worth doing.
And the final question, can you imagine a life without pizza?
Yes, and that would be called hell. So I'm fortunate that we can have heavenly experiences thanks to dough, sauce, and cheese.
Andrew WK, musician, motivational speaker, professional partier. He's going to be the keynote speaker at the Chicago Pizza Summit, which will be at the Chop Shop in Wicker Park on Sunday, sponsored by Empty Bottle and Old Style. Where can we see you after that?
Oh, the best place is just to go on the computer, andrewwk.com. I'll be going to Las Vegas right before Sunday, DJing at the Hard Rock Hotel there on Saturday night. And then working on all kinds of more parties to come. I am at the disposal, at the mercy of the party gods, and they send me to do their bidding, and I just follow their orders.
Well, you can also get them at Twitter, at Andrew WK. Andrew WK, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you sincerely for having me.